The faces may change, but the standard does not. B-I-A on SJs. Welcome to Snap Judgments. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I'm also...
Took a while to get there, but you got
it. I know. I was building up to it. It's for effect, Berm. Yeah. The Ohio State secondary and Matt Gurry, Tim Walton, and then a handful of veterans. We got to talk to Davis Nigbenosin, Jermaine Matthews, a.k.a. Ghostface.
Ghostface.
Caleb Downs and Lorenzo Styles. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot of intrigue about, I think, the next wave of depth. But in terms of maintaining the best in America standard, those are the guys where most of that burden lies.
So when we get an opportunity to have a day like this on the side of the Woody Hayes, when you have two coaches and four players, and the players that were really like the interesting group as far as the movement of the roster or new faces and new places, we didn't get those guys today, which is obviously intentional from Ohio State. We did ask about those other guys, the Malik Hartfords, the Jalen McClains, the Bryce Wests, the, you know, how do these guys all fit? The Devin Sanchez, the Aaron Scott. Scotts. Yeah. And it seemed like, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong or off base, but it seems like this is just another position group, the secondary, where they're like, we don't want to tell anybody anything. And I don't know what the value of that is really, but with 10 days now until Texas, like, we're going to find it all out next week, I guess. But the fact that Lorenzo Styles was out here is pretty telling. This is not just a guy who is like a well-liked player in the locker room. Like, he is going to be the starter at nickel next Saturday, I think, pretty safely. And then the question is, what does it mean for the other safeties? Because Caleb Downs is Caleb Downs. But what you do with Jalen McClain and Malik Hartford, listening to Matt Guerrero, listening to Tim Walton, it seemed like that's going to change week to week based on maybe matchups. So do you think that's fair, or do you not agree with that?
No, I think everything you said is accurate. And again, it's not that if Aaron Scott or Bryce West came out after practice on Tuesday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center to talk about their role, that it would dramatically change the way Texas is going to prepare for this game. But I do think that there's always this element where each position group, each position coach has some say over who is ready for this moment, who's earned the opportunity to talk to the media. So I don't quibble with any of that. If that's what they think those guys have to do, is that play against Texas, earn their stripes throughout the month of September, and then talk, I've got no problem with that, because the rest of those guys have certainly earned the right to be spokesman for this team. And listening to Davis Nigbenosin, Jermaine Matthews, Caleb Downs, Lorenzo Styles, one of those four is a captain, and I think you could have made a case that any of those other three would have got some votes. Most notably, I think, Davis Nigbenosin coming into his own. But when people talk about unheralded or surprising leaders on this team, Jermaine Matthews always comes up.
Davis Nigbenosin said that Jermaine Matthews gives him life.
And I said, same, man, same. Yeah. Jermaine gives me life, too. He's infectious. And I think that part is all important. But to your point about, okay, how are they going to be aligned on the first snap against Texas? Like, Caleb Downs is going to be out there. Lorenzo Styles is going to be at nickel. Jermaine and IGB are going to be at corner. And then maybe there was an element of, for Matt Guerrero, well, Malik Hartford and Jalen McClain don't need to talk about a head-to-head competition against themselves. There may not be any value for either one. And that's fine, too. Like, we're going to see which one is out there for the first play against Texas. Matt Guerrero sort of was like, well, what if they come out in a goal line formation? Maybe you don't see any corners out there. Like, I get all that. So there is also this shift in mindset that I brought up with other position groups, that Ohio State and Matt Patricia, the starting lineup and the personnel that's going to be used, I completely agree. It's going to look different from week to week. So the old traditional mindset of a two deep and what it looks like doesn't really exist for this team.
We need to change the vernacular a little bit. Ryan Day keeps talking, the last times we've seen him in the team room, is now like, are you a pro or are you a player? Are you a player or are you a pro? Today, McCreary's asked, like, who's your starters? And he said, we don't have starters. We have game-ready guys. So once you clear into the world of game-ready, then you're a starter. I mean, James Laurinaitis talked about it last week, that he has three starters at linebacker. Doesn't matter if they play two linebackers most of the time. He's got three starters. Matt Guerrero said he's got three starters when it comes to Caleb Downs, Malik Hartford, and Jalen McClain. One question I wanted to ask today and didn't get a chance to was, like, for the layman, for the average person who's watching a game and comparing it to last year, does Caleb Downs get to play the Caleb Downs role from a year ago, or does Caleb Downs have to play Jordan Hancock's role because Jordan was so versatile, and that's what Caleb allows. And like, who is who based on last year's defense? And I don't know that Caleb Downs is going to be as much of Caleb Downs last year as he was Jordan Hancock. And I could be completely off base, but I think when you talk about the value of what Jordan brought this defense, and that was obviously amplified because you had Caleb who could also do multiple things. And I asked, like, is there one guy that you can get all that versatility out of? And the only player that really fits the profile is Caleb Downs. So, but to your point, like, you don't have to just force it with one player. Like, it's easier, it's better, because then you can disguise things and move things around a little bit. But it's an interesting group when it comes to the talent is obvious. The depth is good, but it's inexperienced depth. The conversations about Aaron Scott and Devin Sanchez and those guys on the outside, like, it's like, well, Jermaine and Davison are here so that we can move these guys along as they you know, move along themselves naturally. So it's an interesting group.
I think, you know, trying to read the tea leaves in the conversation, as we are prone to do on Snap Judgments, you know, if there's someone other than Caleb Downs who can do that, because I believe that Jordan Hancock is the most difficult like-for-like replacement on Ohio State's roster right now, maybe outside of Tyreek Williams, separate, just for the secondary's sake, filling Jordan Hancock's skills and what that allowed Caleb Downs to do, someone has to take that on, because Caleb Downs is better when Matt Patricia can move him all over the field the way that he seems to want to. And so the name that I think that was coming up, and I know that there's this perception that Lorenzo Styles was picked on, that he didn't perform well enough when he was on the field for Ohio State. I'm not sure that that's entirely accurate. We compared him, I think, on a stock watch a couple of weeks ago to Tanner McAllister, which, you know, I was looking at his PFF grades and they were a bit all over the map. The consistent theme was he did give up completions. They did not go over his head. They didn't go for touchdowns. And you said, well, you know, maybe that's a new level of responsibility, more snaps, more familiarity, more study, more experience, like all everything. Lorenzo Styles has all that. And the physical tools, I think, they may not ever reach the level of Jordan Hancock, but it might be close enough that he can do the things. And he referenced playing in the slot, playing deep down the field, talking about some of the things that Jordan Hancock did a year ago and wanting to do that. I think physically, Lorenzo Styles is not the one that you're going to point to out of this group to do that. I think collectively, he's probably going to be the one that does.
Traditional roles have changed so much in football that you don't want to say, when Lorenzo came in a year ago, he was basically in like a dime package. He was the sixth DB on the field. And even at the Olympics, like the 100-meter dash at the Olympics, someone finishes last. Like in last year's secondary was pretty good. So like if you have all these NFL players out there and then Lorenzo Styles comes out of the field and he's matched up against a slot receiver, that's probably where you're going to look first. If
you're a quarterback, right. Do you want to throw on Denzel Burke, Davis Nigbenosin, Jermaine Matthews, Caleb Downs, right. Nathan Ransom, like Jordan Hancock?
So
no.
It makes sense that's the guy you would try and take advantage of. And so, you know, for Lorenzo, and he said it today, is that the big change is knowing that I'm going to be out there on the first play. So, like, your mentality has to shift. It's not like be prepared for situational football. It's be prepared for everything. And Lorenzo is smart enough and a guy that's motivated. He's here with his brother. Like, this means a lot to him. It's not a surprise that he takes it as seriously as he does. It's not a surprise that he's developing, considering he's only played defensive back for 2 years. So the fact that he's at this point after 2 years is pretty impressive, because Bryce West is coming on super strong and maybe provides a touch more athleticism. But the one thing that Tim Walton said repeatedly today, one thing that McCrary said, is like, these guys have to be consistent. And Lorenzo is 100% that.
They know what they're going to get from that. And it's not that as if, well, Bryce West hasn't claimed a primary nickel job in the middle, like what, August 19th.
Yeah.
We can have another conversation in the middle of October. You can have one in November. In terms of getting ready to play Texas, Lorenzo Styles is going to be absolutely crucial. Like, all four of those guys that we talked to are going to play probably 95% of the snaps in this game. This is going to – those talent-equated ones, we brought this up, you know, with quarterback, with the offensive line. Like, this isn't an ease-into-the-season situation. Right. So you're
this isn't a game to play around.
Yeah, you have those opportunities later in September with Grambling in Ohio right after that, and then the off week, first off week. But in terms of getting through this one, like if you're expecting – a ton of conversation about Bryce West or Aaron Scott or Devin Sanchez, that's not going to happen against Texas. Or at least I would be very surprised if it did.
It seems unlikely based on just the way Ohio State has been talking about this game since January. They know this is a game that is going to be a barometer for the entire season. They know it's a game they're going to be judged on until November 2nd when they play Penn State. And so winning this game, and that is, you know, Tim Walton was asked about the style of play for the corners. Like, they played a lot of off man, a lot of off coverage last year after playing press in years before. Like, what does this group do best? And he said, it doesn't matter. We're going to do whatever we have to do to win. So against a team like Texas, maybe you're going to play a little bit more off man because you want Arch Manning to not be comfortable being able to take single, you know, shots one on one. So what you see next week is somewhat irrelevant based on what you're going to see the rest of the year, except for who are the guys doing it, because those are the leaders and those are the guys that are going to step up. Devin Sanchez, because Sonny Styles is now wearing the block O, does get to wear number 6 now. Maybe that doesn't matter to people, but if you're keeping track at home, or
I think it matters to Devin Sanchez.
It definitely matters to Devin Sanchez. That's the number he's grown up wearing, and you know he wanted it, so he gets it a year earlier than expected. So if you're keeping track or you have your custom roster on NCAA football,
or you bought a number 4 Devin Sanchez jersey, it might be, yeah, see if you can replace it.
Yeah, because he will be wearing number 6.
Get an exchange. How cool are Jermaine Matthews Screams thigh pads?
I wonder, like, how do you do that? Like, I know that, you know, we've seen in the past different guys wearing different thigh pads. Jeremiah Smith has one with the cross, or number 4, one with the Joker.
He seems to have an infinite supply.
But, like, do you just go to, like, customthighpads.com and be like, I want the ghost face from Scream? Or I would like a desert landscape with cacti.
Did you used to live in Phoenix?
With cacti. And I would like the red rocks of Sedona blended. I just don't know how you get, like, I mean, I
assume that's what you would get on your thigh pads?
I'm just spitballing. I just think that clearly there's a pretty healthy business here for someone to make thigh pads.
I'm sure that's what they're
custom
doing.
Custom thigh pads.
Yeah.
But, the ghost.
I don't one, think that Jermaine made it himself.
Jermaine is so interesting to me as a human, because I pulled him and Davis and Igbinosin both aside after they were done and asked, like, because I realized the question sort of convoluted. And Jermaine is someone who just talks all the time, right? And when you're a young guy and you get into a place like Ohio State, if you're a talker, there's a tendency for people to at some point be like, okay, shut up, like, to drown you out, because they don't think that what you're saying is important, because you're a chirper. Jermaine is a chirper, but now he's a chirper who's also a leader. And so I was curious from his perspective, like, how do you get people to not just listen to the chirping, but then all understand,
take it to heart.
But now all of a sudden be like, hey, he's saying this from a position of leadership. And he said the thing that he's had to do and what he's been doing is it's all lead by example now. Like, he's going to chirp, but, like, there's no loafing. There's no taking a second to catch your breath. There's no, like, he's the leader. And so I asked Davison the same question. Like, you guys got here at the same time. And he said, you know, I've always considered Jermaine someone to listen to because his confidence is so different. But he also said he now leads by example. So, you know, they were not, I didn't ask even this question together. So the fact that they both came up with the same thing, I think is really telling. And I think both these guys are going to be in the NFL next year. Mm-hmm. Davis and Igbinosin said the reason he came back to Ohio State for this season was because he wants to be a first round pick. Do you think that that's possible based on what we've seen out of him for the last 2 years?
100%. I think everyone who has, you know, watch snap judgments over the last couple of years know how highly I think of Jermaine Matthews and what his ceiling is going to be. And sometimes that has come at the expense of the conversation and even the appreciation of Davison Igbinosin. If you rewind to training camp at this time a year ago, what was I saying then?
You were saying that he was going to get passed up by Jermaine Matthews.
That's what I thought was going to happen. And
I was saying he was going to be picked higher than Denzel Burke in the NFL draft.
And he would have been last year.
And I assume he still will be next year, but first round pick is lofty.
And that was the same motivation that brought Denzel Burke back a year ago. He didn't reach that. I think Davison, he comes at this position with a different frame, different length,
yeah,
different skill set.
But also a different reputation heading into year 4.
And we can get into all that. Maybe we will on the Stock Watch on Wednesday morning. But, like, the only thing that is really holding him back, at least in terms of being a first-round draft pick, is he would have had to go through that process in March and April and be asked repeatedly about being one of the most penalized defensive players in America. Yeah. And that, can you remove the hand fighting, the penalty interference, all the things that, you know, I think the competitiveness, the edge that helps make him great, but can hurt your team in certain situations. It's hard to become a first round draft pick. It's unfair to, I think, that can be his goal, but to say that's definitely going to happen for somebody when there's only 32 spots and team needs and all those things, I don't want to get that far ahead of it. But if IGB is not a first team all Big Ten cornerback this year, I'd be pretty surprised by that. He's got the name recognition. I think the numbers are going to be there. Teams are going to have to throw the football somewhere. And if they want to do it, they get, you know, they're too afraid to throw on Caleb Downs half of the field or at Jermaine Matthews or whoever else, like, then the numbers could be there. And Davison doesn't need many opportunities to make major plays. Think about the Penn State sequence. You know, you're going to throw on him in the red zone. Good luck to you.
One thing, and I got to remember if I'm hearing it correctly. So if I say this and it ends up being incorrect, sorry, but I'm pretty sure I heard Jermaine Matthews say that he has been working mostly on the field side, which would be opposite for Davison Igbinosin of a year ago, because Davison was the field side. And I posited last year that some of that, the penalties had to do, he's got to cover a whole lot more field than Denzel Burke had to cover last year.
Sure.
So I wonder if that is going to be relevant to just the sheer number of yards he has to cover someone for is going to shrink down. And that eliminates some of the opportunity for those grabby penalties. So it's going to be interesting.
It's another thing that we
what about Coach have to Downs? Wait and see. What about Coach Downs? Do you think that Caleb Downs will be a first-round pick?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we can say that confidently about him.
I don't really have any of the same hesitancy with that.
Davison Igbinosin said he calls him Coach Downs.
Yeah.
Both McAreary and Tim Walton were asked, like, do you check with Caleb to make sure stuff is okay?
I found that line of questioning a little strange.
Are we putting too much on Caleb Downs as a football mind? Or is it just like, this is who he is and we should just enjoy it while we're here? Because it seems like we're like, well, wherever Caleb goes, that part of the field, there's no problems. He can play the big nickel. He can play safety. He can play linebacker. He can play running back. He can punt return. He can kick return. Wherever he's at, it's the greatest decision you can make. Are we saying too much?
He's the best defensive player in America.
Yeah, he is. So we're not saying too much. And Coach Downs is fair. The dude is super smart. He is really interesting to listen to.
It is true that when you have someone with his IQ and you want to move him, and Matt Patricia, McAreary, Tim Walton have all talked about this, all the places you mentioned except running back and punt returner.
He did return a punt for a touchdown.
I know he did, but they're not necessarily going to be – that's not their purview. Brian Hartline, I guess we need to check. Is he still the return game coordinator? I guess we don't know.
Yeah.
See, just always coming up with things that we have always to check on. Anyway, there is an element where, all right, can Caleb handle this and bouncing ideas back and forth? There's nothing that he cannot do. Yeah. So,
but the reason that...
But he's not calling the defense.
Right. To go back to the start of the show where the standard doesn't change. The BIA expectation can only really be amplified and discussed the way that we're discussing it because of Caleb Downs. He is so much better... the only player in Ohio State in the last 15 years that can even put him in the same conversation with as far as like just football IQ is Jordan Fuller and the things that Jordan Fuller allowed that 2019 defense to do. And if Caleb Downs can be that guy from a totally now in a movable position,
yeah,
then the BIA standard like should be met based on what we saw and the guys that are in this room.
I'm going to make a bold plea that it will be met, that BIA will be the best in America yet again. That's the only way to wrap up some snap judgments on a Tuesday in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We have one more day of availability in training camp, and it'll be wrapped up with
Woody
tight
Wednesday.
Ends. It'll be a Woody Wednesday. Can't wait. Tight ends, my personal favorite, and probably yours too, if you've been joining us for this one. Can't wait to get into that. We'll also have some stocks on Wednesday morning on The Beat, so don't miss that on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV's YouTube, 10TV Plus, or anywhere that you want to download the audio-only feed. We appreciate you. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We will talk to you tomorrow.